This is KBUT's Community Matters. Do call in and join the conversation, 970-349-7444. Of course, anytime, always, you can send comments, questions to news@kbut.org. At this time, I'd also like to let folks know that we do post all of our episodes of Community Matters online at kbut.org within 24 hours of their airing. So do check that out. Our website has all the previous episodes, and this episode will be posted within 24 hours. And now I'd like to introduce our two final guests for this evening, Rob Carney and Jay Prentice. Both are Crested Butte residents and COVID-19 survivors. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us this evening.
Hi, thank you.
Hey, how are you? Hey, Jay, it's nice to see you finally.
Good to see you too, Rob.
So simply put, you know, I've really looking forward for this opportunity to just ask you both to tell your story. And if Jay, if you wanted to start.
I guess it started late February, early March. I just started feeling kind of fatigued, not too bad really. Just living normally. I was still skiing and having fun, just kind of felt like I had a typical sort of rundown middle of winter kind of feeling. And, we had heard a little bit at the time about this virus that was in China, but wasn't of any concern and wasn't coming to the United States, you know, wasn't going to be here. And so I never even, put it together. I went about 2 weeks feeling pretty tired, but not too bad. I had a couple days where I felt a little rough, but then I had other days where I felt completely fine. And I remember telling my son up Mount Crested Butte. He's 4 at the time, I think. Towed him up Mount Crested Butte and skied down. And I got this weird feeling in my chest, like I couldn't breathe that well. But I thought, oh, maybe it was just hard pulling him up the mountain. And I got down, maybe it was the next day, I just stopped breathing, basically just stopped. I went from feeling kind of fine to stop breathing. I went to the hospital. I didn't want to go to the hospital. I thought I was having a heart attack, actually. I'm not one to go to the hospital. I didn't even, want to go. I thought, okay, well, let's see how this plays out. But my wife insisted on it, and a friend insisted I go to the hospital. I went to the hospital, and they basically, told me to go home, and I was fine. The last thing they said to me when I left the hospital was, if your wife sees you, your lips turning blue, or you pass out, call 911. So I went home, and basically 10 months later, I'm still dealing with a lot of effects from that virus.
Yeah, me too.
And we will spend some time talking about symptoms and, possibly some of the treatments that you've been through. I do want to ask Rob Carney, if you'd like to share your story with us.
Yeah. Kind of same as Jay's in a way, just wasn't feeling good, but not like what Jay was saying, it was different for me, I guess, because I felt like I could breathe. But the day I kind of realized I'd gone shopping, I'd come back up from Gunnison, and it took me well over an hour to bring in my groceries. I had to sit down literally 15 minutes, but it just, again, like Jay said, COVID's not going to be in Crested Butte. I thought I had the crud, and yeah, it didn't feel very good. Next day, I woke up with a sore throat, called my workplace and talked to my head grower. And he was like, I said, I'm not feeling good. And he goes, don't come in. He goes, if I get sick, I can't do my job. I'll always remember that. And then literally when I hung up the phone, that's when the ache started. I mean, I've had aches, but not like this. I mean, it was absolutely brutal. And, called my doctor, said, ride it out. No temperature. Didn't have a temperature. And, but he did say to take Tylenol. And I literally went through a bottle in 5 days. eating them every 4 hours. It's the only thing that sort of made me feel better. But I just felt getting worse and worse and worse over a course of 4 or 5 days, to the point where, you know, I was on social media and I was just saying, I don't feel good. And I said, you know, no one's listening to me. Called my doctor a couple, 2-3 times over those 3-4 days. And he said the same thing every time, you know, just write it out, you don't have a temperature. And then he finally goes, if you want, he goes, you can go down to Gunnison, go to the ER. And I said, what will they do for me? He says, oh, they'll just pump you up with some fluids most probably and send you on your way. By that time, I was so weak and so pretty much just losing it. I was like, there's no way I can drive 60 miles. So, you know, I kind of gave up on that. By the 5th day, I was feeling pretty bad and kind of looked out the window, looked around, and I knew that I wasn't going to make it through the night, and nobody cared.
And Rob, feel free to take a moment. You feel free to take a moment, and Jay, as Rob sort of became emotional there, talking about the feeling, knowing that he was going to die. I'm wondering if that's something you can relate to.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I can't tell you how many nights my wife and I just had the conversation. Like, there's no way I can make it one more day. There's just not a possibility. And I, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I was a little delirious, possibly, but I mean, I could barely breathe. All I could eat was chicken broth that people brought to me every day. And again, I just was like, and I was good with it. You know, I was like, at least I won't feel like this anymore. And I was very lucky. A friend called and she asked how I was doing. And I said, you know, I'm not doing so good. I said, I'm really sick. I said, I've talked to the doctors. They told me to write it out. And I said, to be honest with you, I don't think I'm going to make it through the night. And I'm okay. I'm okay with that. She sent an ambulance. I was very sick by then. And could barely walk to the ambulance. I can't believe I even made it. Got in the ambulance, got down to Gunny. This was on the 20th of March. And all I could think about was 7 days before Mikey Larson had died. And I did not know that Mikey died of COVID until after I got out of the hospital. Anyway, got to the ER, put me in 103 temperature. I could see on their faces, it's like, yeah. And they're like, you got COVID. And they put me in a makeshift, at that time, a makeshift isolation. It was 2 rooms with plastic. And, you know, I remember the first 2 days. I know I took a picture of myself the first day, posted on Facebook saying something like, this is the face of COVID. You can see my little chipmunk cheeks sticking out. And then apparently 5 days later, I took a picture of myself again. And I don't remember those 5 days. I only remember 2 days in the hospital. I didn't know I was there for 5. And when I looked at the time code of the picture, I must have taken it just a few hours before I stopped breathing. You know, they put me on a respirator just at the right time. And, you know, I've been to Gunnison a few times, talked to the nurses down there. And I said, did I say anything to you? And she said, yeah. She said, you said, please don't let me die. They put me on a airplane, flew me to Grand Junction. And 11 days, including Gunnison, 13, 14 days on a respirator. And, you know, it was quite a trip. You know.
Yeah. I want to just remind listeners, they're listening to KBUT's Community Matters. We're here with Rob Carney and Jay Prentice, two COVID-19 survivors living in Crested Butte. And first of all, I just wanted to say thank you both so much for coming on and sharing your stories with us. When we put out the announcement that you'd be coming on the show, we did ask folks, as we are now, to call in or send questions to news@kbut.org to contribute. And we had another long hauler survivor, self-described long hauler survivor, write in and wanting to ask what direction to go locally for continued support. And this is a quote here: as I feel I'm literally and figuratively drained and at a dead end. And of course the suffering, the emotion, the toll that it's taken, we can hear that in the description of these stories. You know, guys, I know that you said that you've met over the phone before, but haven't met before officially. But is there a group of COVID supporters that gather and support one another? Is that something we can start?
Jay?
Well, I can tell you that, you know, the Main Street Clinic down in Gunnison, Rowan, has been as helpful as she possibly can, and she's been great.
Yeah.
I'd say locally, that's been my only connection. As far as dead end goes, yeah, I think everyone that has long haul COVID symptoms is at a dead end, unfortunately. I don't think anyone, and I am in contact with a lot of very intelligent people, especially doctors, who are working very hard on this particular viral whatever it is, or virus whatever it is, and they don't have any answers. Nobody has answers. Nobody has any answers. You know, as far as mental health goes, that part has been pretty tough too, because you know this is not our life, obviously, and you don't know if this particular life is ever gonna end, you know, if you're stuck with this or if you're going on. But as far as mental health goes, I know that there are, you know, places to go and get help. But as far as, you know, seeing doctors, I'd say, you know, the Main Street Clinic in Gunnison is locally the only place to get help that I know. I'm sure there are other great doctors, but I don't know that anybody knows anything at this point.
Actually, the listener who called in and submitted that question, it's just another quote that from actually this person's physician recently said, the more we learn about the beast, that's what this person refers to COVID as, the beast, the less we actually know how it will turn out for you. So it does seem like it is scaring a lot of doctors for sure. And Rob, I interrupted you. I didn't mean to. Sorry.
Yeah, no, you know, as far as like, yeah, support groups, you know, I did one on Facebook. It was one of the saddest things I'd ever seen, mm-hmm. You know, and then not only that, but I got hit by a lot of, well, you know, I don't mean to offend anybody here, but I was getting a lot of, well, if you find Jesus, you know, he will save you. And I'm like, I was just like, yeah, that's not going to help me. However, you know, I made promises and I plan on keeping them. God would let me die and he didn't. And I'm not a religious person, but yeah. And then as far as Roanne, I have not personally met her. But a friend of mine, Angie Hornbrook, got me into her study, and it's a study of antigens. And she was coordinating it, I believe, for a while. And now I think she stepped back, but she's still there helping people. And I've been sending in every couple months blood samples. And so far, my antigens are pretty doggone strong. I'll find out in a couple of days whether or not they've lowered or not. It's been a few months. But yeah, I mean, for me to talk to anybody, no.
Yeah.